T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here it is.
What?
Our new podcast.
Oh. Oh my God.
Morning Mess here. It's time for episode, is it 3?
I think so.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to eventually forget.
Yes, we will.
Podcast 179. How you doing? It's Joey Boy.
Hi, it's Anish.
It's Gina.
And it's Carla.
We were looking to see if there's any more added, because yesterday's podcast, we liked the after mess, and we all decided, like, let's wait 24 hours to see if there's any other names that we'd like to replace it with. Did we find any? Did you guys see anything you want to add?
I didn't see anything that I was in love with. I think the after mess is it.
So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the after mess. We had a good show today. were you doing the echo?
Yes, he was.
Sipping on my White Claw, living my best life, whatever.
Yeah, you guys sipping on those White Claws? You enjoying those?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joey.
Cheers.
I'm not mad at this mango. All right, so we're talking on the show today about this weekend I'm going to Cali for a wedding, and then a mutual friend invited me to a celebrity house party, George Lopez. George Lopez is an avid smoker. He is into the cannabis community, and I believe he is, he definitely makes money off it. I think he has one of those spots that he makes money off.
Smart
so he had
investment.
A, yes, very smart investment. The way it's going
like
to CBD.
Like a dispensary?
I think he's more like, he has like a farm. He's invested like the,
oh, dang.
Where they, like kind of with the visit that we went or the tour that we took.
Yeah. And side note, from the cosmetic side, like, you know, Jeffree Star, like he got a lot of his money from actually investing in like in dispensaries and farms. And that's how he created his empire.
Really?
That fool is ridiculously rich. George. And just because of marijuana.
Really?
And ridiculously racist, but we won't talk about that.
Yeah.
We can another time. Let's save it.
Episode 4. All right, so going to George Lopez's house, and we were talking about, you know, obviously it's a house party. It's called Don't Weed in My Pool. So obviously there's going to probably be a lot of weed smokers and celebs there. And we discussed it'll probably be like an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement that I'll probably have to sign, so I can't tell you which celebrities were smoking and toking up at that party. But do you guys have any celebrity stories throughout radio that you've smoked, you've got drunk with?
Oh, my God.
Like, this is a podcast. Like, let's put it out there.
Oh.
I got one to kick it off, a very interesting one. I don't know if I've ever shared this with you guys. Back in the days, I worked at the hip-hop station in town, 92.3, and we had Ja Rule. Remember when Ja Rule was huge, like in 2002?
Mm-hmm.
He was, excuse me, retract that. In 2002, Snoop Dogg was in town.
Oh, what? Wait.
Snoop Dogg was in town.
From Ja Rule to Snoop Dogg?
Yes.
You confused the two because that's mad disrespectful.
No. This is how it works. So Snoop Dogg was in town. He was dropping a new album. He came to the station, and I was part of this group called The Nuts. And Snoop Dogg came into the studio. He's like, what's going on, nephews? Here's one for you, and here's one for you. He gave me and Johnny each a blunt. Now, this is Snoop Dogg weed. This is like shooting free throws with Michael Jordan. To smoke with Snoop Dogg is a different level. So we got high. We got high on the air. We got high
what?
In our office.
You smoked
on the air. We were smoking with Snoop.
I could never.
We
I'm
went
so
to
jealous.
Our office. We were smoking with Snoop. his stuff was so strong, we only smoked one of the blunts. So we had one blunt left over. The next day, they were sending us to Tucson to go to, this is, I've only been to Tucson twice. This is the first time I've ever been. To cover a show, to do an interview backstage.
Okay.
Ja Rule.
Now I get where this, okay.
Side note, what song does Ja Rule sing that I would know?
Holla Holla, Always On Time.
But he's the remix, I'm time. Real with J-Lo.
Okay, yeah, okay, thank you.
What's my name?
Yeah. R-U-L-E.
So the great. Record label says like, hey, when you're on your way from Phoenix to Tucson, Ja Rule's looking for some smoke.
Shut up, really?
Me and Johnny realized we still had Snoop Dogg's blunt.
You're going to look so cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you kidding me?
So we call him up. What's up, Marty? We call Marty up and we're like, we got you. We got some stuff from Snoop who was here. So we went up, went on Ja Rule's tour bus. Like, he was playing video games, Anish, in the back of the tour bus.
Oh,
and
stop.
He's like, I heard all about y'all. Nuts, come in. We're called the Nuts. He's like, I heard you got some good smoke. So we're playing video games with him. We're like, yeah, Snoop came in the studio. We didn't smoke this one. And his eyes bugged. He's like, this is from Snoop. This is. And we got high 2 days in a row. Oh, first day with Snoop. Second day with Ja Rule. Higher than giraffe balls.
Wow. That's not fair. I wish I was like of age back then because I'm like so young. So I wouldn't have been allowed to.
Okay.
But I don't know. I have to think about my drinking or smoking story. I feel like you, Carla, or you, Gina, might have a better one than me, I think.
It's definitely not as cool as Joey's. Like, yours absolutely wins. But I was on our sister station for a good amount of time before I came over here to live, so Camel Country. And we have an event that's very intimate. It's very small. It's acoustic. Lots of artists. And then we all share the same backstage area. Us as radio hosts, some of our bosses, and the artists. And there's an open bar back there. So pretty much every single year, we would get drunk with different artists. I've definitely had some married men ask me for drink or to get drinks, and I won't say who because I'm just not that kind of person. I don't want to out anybody. But
Garth Brooks.
No, I've never met him actually. I would love to.
It's the only country person I know.
Brad Paisley.
Brad Paisley served me a Guinness, but it's something he does backstage for everybody. He knows how to pour a clover like into the foam. It's real fancy.
What?
That's actually pretty cool.
That's tight.
But it's like a little party trick that he'll do for a lot of radio people.
Wow. You might have to be a side chick for that trick. Yeah.
No. He's a really nice guy.
I got to learn how to do that. That's tight.
It's so cool. And it's just fun. He's very hospitable when you go back there with Brad Paisley. So shout out to you. I'll name you because you're awesome, but we're not going to name the slimy guys that try to hit on me even though they're married because it happens in every industry. And I guess you just get surprised. I don't know. You just
God, I wish I listened to country music because I really would want to guess. Just look at your face to see, ooh, I know it because
no,
I don't know.
I have my poker face on. You wouldn't be able to tell.
God. I wish I was there because I want to get hit on by a married man.
I mean, you can go every year. Well, I mean, actually, I don't know why I'm encouraging that. Do not get hit on by a married man. I take back what I said. But yeah, just getting hit on by married men, it's like, kind of not good.
Right. Carla, you come from the promotion side in radio, so you've been on with us 8 months, but you did promotions for how long before here?
2 years? A year-ish, because then I went upstairs and did programming behind a computer and just didn't talk to anyone. But coolest...
And I say that because you've done promotions and you had to deal with artists.
Yeah, but not as closely as you guys. I think mine happened in Old Town. So,
even better.
Y'all know Kim Kardashian's ex-husband, Chris Humphrey?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so we were walking through the club and the security guard pulled us aside because I was with like a group of baddies and he was like, hey, do you guys want to go to a table? And we're like, duh. Free drinks, hello. So we go, we sit down at this table, and there's these, like, three guys that are already there, and one of them has his hood up, looking all mysterious and shit, you know? Like, like it matters. Like, we gave a fuck, to be honest with you. We're here for the drinks. We're not here for you.
Wow.
And then he puts his, like, hood down a little bit, and my friend goes, oh, my God. That's Kim Kardashian's ex-husband, Chris Humphrey.
And all of a sudden, you all cared.
No, and all of a sudden, I was just like, huh? Who?
What do you think his penis looks like?
It was so funny because actually that same night, Valentine, DJ Valentine, was DJing at that same club. And I saw him, and he was behind Chris Humphrey. Is it Humphrey or Humphreys?
Humphreys.
Anyway, see, that's how much I didn't care. And so my friends were fangirling, though. They were like, oh, my gosh, like, let's go talk to him. And I, like, went straight towards him. Excuse me. I went straight towards him, and I think he thought I was, like, going to go talk to him. And then I said, excuse me. I jump over the couch that he's sitting on into the DJ booth to say what's up to Valentine. And he was, like, shocked. And I was just like, look, sir, I'm not a gold digger. Not that Kim Kardashian left you with any gold.
Okay, I know that's right. I mean, that's a really cool story. I know, like, as a show, like, we had that moment with Lil Jon where we were all taking shots.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I think that's right.
We were buzzing, yeah.
Yeah, we
oh
did
my.
That. I mean, we've had some moments. Like, I know for me, actually, we had talked about that mansion party that we were at, like, in Malibu, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that I can remember where I've had, like, a one-off moment was with the group DNCE. So it's, like, four people. That was Joe Jonas's group. And then there's the guitarist, Jinju. And of all of them, I felt like I was able to connect with Jinju the most. So I was over at the bar, like, just waiting in line to get to, like, order a drink. And she turned around after she got her drink and she asked me what I wanted. And I was like, whatever you're drinking, I don't know, whatever you want. And so we were starting to chat. And I don't know if I was giving off any weird vibes, but then Joe, like, immediately came up, like, maybe after 30 seconds of us just, like, talking one-on-one. And he grabbed her and he kind of pulled her away. And that's, like, literally the only thing I can think of, like, one-off. Like, I don't know. I was like, I'm gay. I'm not trying to...
Right.
Be a weirdo. I don't know.
Trying to roofie her or anything.
No.
Maybe it's like, a roofie thing. I feel like that was like big brother taking care of little sister, like, do you need help? Or I don't know this guy.
Well, even in this industry, I know that, I don't know if we've ever established it, but for Camel, we had like the eyes, like we'd have signals that we would give to the other personalities if we just felt uncomfortable with whoever we were talking to, or maybe it had been 20 minutes and we're trying to get back to work. And sometimes you're just in these weird situations with people. So she could have had maybe a signal. Maybe she was just being polite because she saw you there.
She dissed you.
Wanted to
leave. That's a good point.
Kind of like gave him the look.
Well, girl, you're the one that turned around and started talking to me.
Yeah, that's true.
I still talk to Cole from DNCE. That guy is cool.
Yeah. So Cole is the guy with the crazy hair, right?
Yeah, with like the mohawk to the side and dresses funky. He has an album dropping. I can't, because he was the bassist, so I can't wait to hear that. Yeah. What up, Cole? Also, we talked about this weekend, a couple of us going out of town, me and Carla going out to Cali, both to Cali, both for weddings, different weddings, but worst wedding. Worst wedding stories.
Oh, Lord.
You've been part of, you attended. I went to a wedding with one of my family members where they had the worst DJ.
Oh, really?
And I wanted to leave so, and I love this cousin, but the DJ was so, so bad. I don't DJ, but I had to go up to the DJ booth and tell them what songs to play. And one of the turntables weren't working, so they literally had to stop, play the next song. It was the worst shit ever. And we're a Puerto Rican family. We like to dance.
Oh, my gosh.
I had to tell this person, who they hired from a friend, I was like, bro, you never budget on the DJ for a wedding.
No.
You got to get a good wedding DJ. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wedding DJ and wedding photographer are the two things you do not want to skimp out on for sure. You know what? I was going to say for my worst one was the one that I was in just because it was a long day, but I just had this epiphany moment. I was a child when this happened, so it's probably why I didn't think of it at first. No shade to my family, but my uncle's wedding. We all knew going into it that he should not be marrying her. Like, the running joke was that we were all going to, like, stand up when, like, the speak now, forever hold your peace part comes. And, like, my mom, she had some smart-ass kids, myself included. She goes, your ass better not. But we all thought about it and joked about it, you know? We just knew it was not going to turn out well. I mean, the beautiful thing of that marriage was I have three lovely cousins from it, and they're great, but they did not last long. It was a nasty divorce, literally the worst divorce I've ever seen
cheating.
In my life. Just really bad cheating allegations.
Have you ever been to a wedding when you know someone is cheating on the other one? You're like, God, I hope that I get wet. Yeah, I've been to one of those too, where I knew the girl, the bride, was cheating.
Ugh.
And I was like, no, don't do it.
Yeah, that was the worst wedding for me, man. You just knew these two were not stable and should not be together, and it ended very badly.
Life figured itself out. Wow. I can say the worst wedding. Oh, God, I feel so bad about this, and I'll tell you why at the end. But, like, so my first job in college, I worked at a sandwich shop. And so, like, because, like, the crew, there wasn't that many people that worked there. So we were all really close with each other. And there were two people that worked there that were getting married. And so we all
both worked there and they were marrying each other?
Yeah. Wow, the judgment already, girl.
I see it. She said she's not a gold digger, but look at that. Look at that face.
Well, whatever. So they decided to get married. Now, we were all working part-time at a sandwich place, so, like, that was not a lot of money that we were making. So when the two announced that they were going to get married, the owner of the sandwich shop was just like, you know what, if you guys want to, she was really rich. Like, she was, like, she married into money, so she had, like, a really nice neighborhood that she lived in, and there was a courtyard in that neighborhood, and she was like, I can reserve the courtyard so that you guys don't have to worry about paying for a venue. You can just have it out there. So we all go out to this, like, area in Mesa, Arizona, and we're all just sitting outside. It's really hot, and it was monsoon season, so this courtyard is all grass, and it had just rained the night before, it was really muddy. And we go through the normal, like, the traditions of a wedding, and then it's time for the bride to walk down. The aisle that she walks down there's like a puddle that nobody notices, and it's full of just like mud, and her dress is a long white dress with a train on it. I don't know why she thought of this, but she was walking. She stepped foot first into that puddle. Her foot sank. It drenched the entire dress. She walked up in a stained dress and proceeded with the wedding, even though everybody was like, girl.
Y'all, what y'all should have done is start just throwing mud on each other and like, you know, you're going to be dirty. We're going to be dirty on your wedding too.
Yeah, that, for that, the bride.
That would have been, I don't know. I just literally didn't know what to do. It was the first wedding I'd ever been to. And then the other thing was is that after the wedding, we all get ready to go and eat food. And then there is a bunch of silverware that just hasn't been like put in its proper place. And so people are just picking up food from a buffet. So one of my coworkers notices that there's like these golden spoons and knives and stuff in this like really fancy plate. He picks up the plate and the fork and the spoon and the knife.
Oh, gosh.
And it's supposed to be the bride's, like, silverware and the bride's dinnerware. And so he's just eating all of these, like, mashed potatoes and stuff with her dishes. And she just looks at him for, like, a couple of seconds. She's like, you know what? Okay. And she just kind of like sat down, and I could just see how frustrated she was. I just sat there with her and I talked with her for a bit because I was just like, girl.
I just thought of something. Have you guys ever heard about when you have the wedding cake, you know, the top part?
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to save that for the bride and groom, and then you put it like in the freezer for a year.
Yeah.
And you eat it like on your 1 year anniversary for good luck. This is a true story.
Oh, God.
I was married before Amber. We were married for 2 years. Me and her were best friends in high school, dated. Got married, lasted 2 years. Got married, had a nice wedding. The top of the cake.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom was helping out with the wedding, and we got married like at an Embassy Suites or something like that. And my mom put it in her refrigerator in the hotel room. Late night, my dad started eating the top cake. My then wife the next day was so pissed off.
Really?
Because she was really into traditions.
Oh.
She was really into good luck, bad luck.
Oh, yikes.
So it's my dad's fault that we got divorced.
Okay.
Facts, America.
My mom's very into the traditions because I had a super, super quick planned wedding. Just we were very casual about it, but there was a few things that she insisted on. One, I had to have an actual wedding dress because I just had a really cute white sundress I was going to wear. She said nope. And one was the wedding cake tradition. And Bryce is not into it at all. He's like, we really have to save this cake for a whole year. It's going to be disgusting by the time we eat it next year. It'll be freezer burned. And we did, just to make my mom happy. Yeah. And she paid for the cake. I was like, no, it's like, let's just,
the least
it's fine.
You could do, right?
So we did that too.
All right.
Worst wedding. Oh, man, I feel bad because, like, there's nothing wrong with being broke and getting married, you know? Like, if you love each other, do it. But if you love each other, then love each other enough to have a ceremony that is going to be fun and with people that actually love you. So I went to a wedding where they come from a really big town in Mexico, and a lot of them have migrated to California. And so there was probably, 500 people at this wedding.
Well,
there's 500 people on my quinceañera.
My
so, like, there's
God.
500 people at this wedding. And I remember they had boxed wine. And here's the reason why I'm a talk shit about it. We're in Napa Valley, California. Every single Mexican is in the wine industry. How the hell are you going to have a wedding and serve boxed wine in red Solo cups?
That's amazing.
They came up to my dad and they were like, oh, like, would you like a glass of wine? And my dad's a big wino and he's like a little bougie, to be honest. And he goes, yeah, of course. They pull out the red Solo cup in the box and my dad is just looking at him like, like, you're not about to disrespect me like this. And obviously my dad takes it because my dad's like also not like a mean person. So he takes it and then I'm just looking like, oh my God. And then I turn around, I'm like, hey, like, where are the restrooms? And they're like, oh, the porta potties are right there.
No.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Check, please.
Okay. And like,
yeah.
There was so many people and no one was dancing.
Oh.
Because everyone just went kind of for like, I guess the chisme, you know? So it was like super sad and like, man, it was just a bummer of a wedding. I think I left at like 8:30.
God, they should have downsized majorly and had a better party.
That's what I mean. Like, love each other, love yourself, be with people that actually love you. And, you know,
amen.
They pulled out so many loans for it, too.
Oh, my God. And be in debt?
Mm-mm.
At that point, you get some Snoop Dogg weed, give out everyone some wedding blunts. Like, here you go.
Absolutely.
Here you go, blunts for everybody.
That would be so cool.
Right? Red solo cups, but I got this Snoop Dizzle.
Have you guys seen that tweet on Twitter where it's like, for my wedding cake's going to be inedible and I'm not going to tell anybody about it?
Oh, no. Okay, no.
Can't do that. Wait, hilarious. Really quick, because I know we're time's up. That happened at a Christmas party at another radio station I work with. Some guy brought cookies.
Get out of here.
To a Christmas party. Did not tell
a soul
that they were edibles. Didn't tell the GM, the PD, none of the DJs. I work at a station where our sister station was a classic rock station.
Couldn't you taste it?
No. No one. And I was tripping out because I drove there. Literally, the venue was like 5 minutes from my apartment in Cali. I thought I was dying. My heart was racing.
I
was dying. I was at a red light, and I felt like I was there for an hour. I was calling everyone. Uh-huh. And in my mind, I remember thinking, I'm dying. So I called one of the people. And right away, I thought of this guy giving us the cookies. And I was like, he's killing us. He's trying to kill us all. I was tripping. I went into my apartment. Four other people from the radio station came to my apartment because they started tripping.
What?
We were all laying on the floor. And one person who didn't have cookies was taking care of us, laughing. They're like, you guys are just tripping. You just got to let it just pass. Let it pass.
Let it ride.
One girl was laughing the whole time. I thought I was dying. The worst shit ever. Don't pull that prank. It's not funny.
Homemade edibles are the scariest thing in the world. No, that is so messed up. Oh, my God.
That's horrible. Since then, I don't take edibles.
No.
I'm paranoid of edibles. I feel like I'm going to die.
Like Anish said, it's very hit or miss. But I will say we've made homemade can of oil because Bryce and I have had our cards. I don't now. I mean, I'm pregnant. I'm not using anything at all.
Oh, yeah. I have my card, too.
But I used it when I got my wisdom teeth out because you eat mashed potatoes, and that actually helped a ton.
Really?
I just slept a bunch. Yeah, because I don't really like pills. We were talking about it earlier. I'm not into the pain pills at all.
No.
I'd much rather have some cannabis than pain pills. Mm-hmm. I feel weird about pills. So I had a bunch of the oil, mixed it up into my mashed potatoes with some butter and salt, ate that, and slept for like 2 days. It was great.
Yeah, I've been getting down with the CBD oils and stuff like for massages and joints and pains.
I can't try it because there's no research on it. They don't know anything about pregnancy and how it affects. I know it doesn't get you high. There's no psychoactive ingredient in it, but my dad loves it. He does labor, and so he's in pain a lot. Mm-hmm. He's also not a fan of pills, so he uses it and swears by it.
We should have a whole episode where we talk about the weed.
The weed?
The weed.
I'm so down.
Because there's so much we could talk about, but I feel like we're going to run out of time.
Oh, yeah. How far are we over? Yeah.
Well, 22 minutes in.
After the aftermath, we'll talk about it.
After the mess is the aftermath.
Hey!
Another episode 3, the aftermath. Anything else?
We all have our cards that talked about marijuana, so don't play with us, okay?
We'll see you on episode 4.
Bye.
Smoke weed every day with a card.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.